change and improve your life. Sounds so simple. But recognizing the obstacles that prevent getting the change and improvement in your life is half the battle. The other half is how to avoid and redirect these obstacles. Remember this, I've seen the problem, and it is me. If most people were to be honest, they could say, I've met the enemy, and he's living in my shorts. I used to say that all the time, but that was until I learned how to change. And not just how to change, but what is keeping us from changing. See, if you were in the computer business, you'd know computers. If you were in the car business, you'd know cars. If you were in the telemarketing business, you know telemarketing. But I'm going to suggest to you that no matter what you do, no matter why you get up each day, do what you do, go home at night, get up the next day and do it again and again and again, I want to suggest that we are all in the people business. Now, it doesn't matter whether you, quote, have a business or not. It doesn't matter if you're gainfully employed, if you get a paycheck for what you do or not. We are in the people business. I've been blessed in 32 years of leadership training with some incredible people and some incredible companies. And I remember years ago, I was doing a lot of work with Coca-Cola. And we had one of the gentlemen, I think it was Doug Herndon from the Mid-Atlantic region. He was a CFO. And one time at the end of one of my classes, he said, you know, Black, Coca-Cola is not in the sugar water business. Coca-Cola is in the people business. We just sell sugar water to make a difference. Because we're all in the people business. When I look in the mirror, I see a people. When I sell to people. When I buy from people. People want change. And transactional analysis tells us that there's a stimulus and a response. Now, the stimulus does not dictate the response. Here's why. The mind is 6 times faster than we can talk. And so when someone says something or does something, there's a stimulus, we go to what we know. And in studying people and transactional analysis, I realize this. Because the mind is 6 times faster than we can talk, when someone says something or does something, there's a stimulus, we go to what we know. We see something from our past. Again, what are we holding on to? We say something from our past. Again, what are we holding on to? We feel something from our past. What are we holding on to? And then based on that, we respond. We don't respond to what that person is doing or what they said. We're responding to our narrative about why they did what they did or what that means about us, or we added on to a growing narrative that's been in our head. And this is a quote from Thomas Harris. It says, 3 things make people want to change. One is that they hurt sufficiently. They have beat their heads against the same wall so long that they decided they have had enough. They have invested in the same slot machines without a payoff for so long that they finally are willing to either stop playing or to move on to others. Their migraines hurt, their ulcers bleed, they're alcoholic, they have hit the bottom, they beg for relief, they want to change. Another thing that makes people want to change is a slow type of despair called NUI, or boredom. This is what the person has who goes through life saying, so what? Until he finally asks the ultimate big, so what? Then he's ready to change. A third thing that makes people want to change is a sudden discovery that they can. This is what I experience in wayofwarrior.training. People's identities change, so their behavior change. I create an environment for them to fail forward. And they really decide, hey, I want to change. And now this guy's showing me how to change. And the environment here is to change. And so once that belief system changes, once they realize that they can change, everything changes. That's what change is about, that there's another way to live. There's a higher level, that we don't have to be subject to the past. We all have filing cabinets. We have a past, we have a present, and we have a future. And many people have misfiled their past into their future. So what happened yesterday is basically dictating what's going to happen tomorrow. And we don't have to do that. That is the whole concept of change. But again, if we're going to change, just like if we're going to change our oil in our car, we got to know where the oil pan is. We got to know how it works. We got to know the basic machinations of the machine. We got to know how it works. And the same thing with the human being. We've got to understand how we work. We got to understand what causes change to take place. And today I really want to hit what keeps change from happening. Recognizing the obstacles that prevent getting the change and improvement in our life is half the battle. The question is, what's holding you back? Another form is this. What's kept you from doing this up until now? What has been the biggest obstacle? And once we can figure out what is holding us back and we understand how we work, then we can do something about it. If I can understand me a little bit better and I can understand how this human being works, doesn't make sense that I'm able to manipulate, to motivate, to move myself from where I am now to where I truly want to be. To teach people how they work. Because if you understand how you work through the sciences of cognitive behavioral therapy, transactional analysis, neuro-linguistic programming, multiple intelligence, emotional intelligence, teach you how you work. And so that way you can function at a higher level. And so when we're dealing with change, we got to understand how we're motivated, how we're moved. And there's something called neuroassociative conditioning. Neuroassociative conditioning basically comes down to that there are two driving forces in life. There's either the desire for pleasure or the avoidance of pain. You're either moving towards something you desire or moving away from something that hurts or something that you fear. Pain is a great motivator. And we can use it to our advantage. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily about physical pain, about hurting yourself, but we will move away from pain and move toward pleasure. Again, it's all how we have those words codified. You see, the human brain is hardwired for pleasure. That's how we're made. Humans even have a unique, quote, pleasure circuit that other animals don't have. The pleasure circuit rewards us for things that get us excited. I don't know, it all depends on who you are, helping others, exercising, whatever it is. But however, in its worst case scenario, it craves short-term fixes, you know, sugary foods, alcohol, drugs, a quick fix. Our brain, like the human condition, is adaptable. It can heal from major injuries. It can learn amazing new skills. It's called plasticity. And I think it is 78 organs we have in our body. And there's only one organ in our body that never has to deteriorate, and that is our brain. It has unlimited plasticity. And plasticity means we can, quote, reprogram the brain. We can reprogram its pleasure circle. We can use them in ways that benefit us. Neuroassociative conditioning, NAC, is a tool that can help us do this. And based on how we're made, how we work, how we are wired, this is why we got to know these basic things. You know this about cars. You know this about games. Imagine if we took that much knowledge, that much time, that much joy, figured out how we work. And neuroassociative conditioning is an understanding of what moves people. Motivation is the art of that movement. Leadership is the ability to perform that movement, to move people to a better place. Positive change is about moving ourselves and others from one set of beliefs, one set of behaviors, attitudes, actions, to a set of beliefs, behaviors, attitudes, and actions that allows us to be the person we want to be, we need to be, and then to do what we need to be doing. And change is a process. Now, there's change. There can be what's called threshold change, where something so intense, something so rocks your world that it forever changes you. Some trauma, some drama. Outside of that, for most people, change is a process. It's a decision that is made over and over and over. And it really comes down to decide what type of person we're going to be. And based on that type of person, what kind of stuff should you do? Step one, first decide. Always, everything happens with a decision, a commitment. Nothing great happens without commitment. Before we can work toward any goals, we got to decide what are our goals. Many people spend their time focusing on what they don't want. I see it all the time. I ask people what they want, but they're so wrapped up in what they don't want. And when you figure out what you want, you got to be specific as possible. I'm on a weight loss thing right now. I'm going to lose 100 pounds. I'm down 50 pounds. In the next 2 days, I'm going to just relax and eat what I want, be normal. And then I'm going to hit it hard again to my beef, butter, bacon, and eggs. That's my diet. And I'm going to hit it again and drop another 50 pounds, get under 200 pounds, get to about 180 for the first time since I was 19 years old. But it's a process. And step one is I had to decide what type of person I'm going to be. And as I decide what type of person I'm going to be, then I have to decide, am I the type of person that will do this? Or am I the type of person that will no longer do this? Once I decide, then I got to get some leverage. I got to get some commitment going. I got to get reprogramming of my brain using neuroassociative conditioning and the other sciences that we understand about ourselves. We can associate massive pleasure with achieving our goals. And we can ask ourselves questions. What will it cost me if I don't make this change? How will I feel when I accomplish my goals? See, you got to make it real. Most people never make things real. And then you got to interrupt the process. You know, we're creating a new process. So whenever you're dealing with patterns, you got to identify the old pattern. Ask yourself this question, is this getting me what I want? And then if the answer is yes, lock it up, make it SOP. But the answer is no, change the pattern, re-identify the pattern. In order to go from one pattern to another, you've got to interrupt. You've got to scratch that CD, you got to break that LP, you got to pull on that 8-track, because you can't run two different programs at the same time. We've got to examine our limiting belief systems and discover what's holding us back. If you think about it, if you dig into what's going on in your head, remember we have 16 to 18,000 thoughts per day, and it's called epigenetics. And through an uncontrolled thought life, we poison ourselves. And so we need to take a look at our thoughts, because those thoughts create behaviors and create feelings about those behaviors. And we carry those with us all throughout the result. And a lot of it has to do with our past, our upbringing, our old programming, our past experiences. And so many people, as I've said, have misfiled their past into the future. And so once you scratch that CD, break that LP, now you got to create a new path, a new pattern. And so we got to make the old way, if we can, associate with pain, actions that aren't in line with our goals. We've got to make it incongruent. We got to make it uncomfortable. We've got to replace those old patterns with new empowering alternatives. Instead of going for the sugar, we go for the health. Instead of eating something at 10 o'clock at night, we choose to drink water. Instead of just getting up out of bed in the morning and just letting life take over, we actually get on our knees. We start thanking God, whatever it is. We got to create that new pattern. And then it's time to condition ourselves. We got to condition ourselves, reward ourselves, make things uncomfortable, and then we create a new pattern and we test it. James Clear now took the same concept of neuroassociative conditioning and broke it down in a cycle, a pattern, maybe even call it a loop, the habit loop. He goes on to say this, our sensory nervous system is continuously monitoring which action satisfies our desires and deliver pleasure. Again, neuroassociative conditioning. Feelings of pleasure and disappointment are part of the feedback mechanism that helps your brain distinguish useful actions from useless ones. Rewards close the feedback loop and complete the habit cycle. If a behavior is insufficient in any one of the four stages, it will not become a habit. Remember, he talks about that. The cue, the craving, the reward, and the benefit, right? Eliminate the cue and your habit will never start. Reduce the craving and you won't experience enough motivation to act. Make the behavior difficult and you won't be able to do it. Do you hear all throughout their neuroassociative conditioning? We move towards pleasure and we move away from pain. That's why Clear says if the reward fails to satisfy your desire, then you'll have no reason to do it. Without the first three steps, a behavior will not occur. So you got to remember, the cue is about noticing the reward, the craving is about wanting the reward, and the response is about obtaining the reward. Remember, a desire for pleasure and the avoidance of pain. Our mind is continuously analyzing our internal and external environment for hints of where rewards are located. The cue is the first indication that we're close to reward, and it naturally leads to a craving, Clear says. This is how we set up our environment to be successful. We got to find a cue, make it obvious. It creates a craving, make it attractive. That then elicits a response, make it easy. That moves us toward a reward, make it satisfying. There's moving towards something you desire. Conversely, if we're focused on changing a habit of behavior automatic response, then create the environment that's conducive to that change or is not congruent with maintaining the pattern as before. So now, how to break a bad habit? It's the same thing. If it's neurosocial conditioning, just repackage. Inverse on the first law. The cue, make it invisible. Don't see the cue anymore. This next, the craving, make it to where it's no craving at all. It's unattractive. The response, make it difficult. Make it so hard to do that you can't respond. And the last one, reward, make it unsatisfying. Reward is, man, I'm going to feel uncomfortable. The reward, man, is I'm going to be bloated. The reward is, man, I'm going to feel like I have to go to the bathroom but not be able to go if you're dealing with health. They're the four laws of behavior change. This is, again, neuroassociative conditioning just put in a different package. How can I make my cue obvious or less obvious? How can I make the craving attractive or unattractive? How can I make it easy response or very difficult? Or how can I make the reward unpleasant, unfulfilling, or if I want it, satisfying? We have all this science and all these books and all these podcasts, but how is the knowledge? Lots of information. What is different now is that the information itself has gotten so large and so vast that the traditional methods of processing the information doesn't exist. I mean, we're just gathering information, but we don't know how to apply it. In the Bible, there are two words that are both translated know. It's gnosis and it's epignosis. Gnosis means to know something, book knowledge, surface knowledge. But epignosis means you know. Do you know stuff at gnosis surface enough to be dangerous? But you don't know how to apply it. You don't know how to use it. You don't know what to do with it. That's the difference. I never want to learn anything just to learn it. I want to learn to a point of application. This is why I do what I do. This is why I do wayofwarrior.training. This is why I've been doing it for 32 years. This is why people come to me to change their lives. What should be more important, changing yourself or changing the world? Because the key is we can be the change that we want to see in the world. We lead by example. The objective world is never going to change. However, it's possible to change our subjective world to a great extent, and that's key. See, when we change ourselves, then our system, our closed system called our world or our open system, whatever you want to consider it, is changed. It's a butterfly effect. You change one thing in a system, the entire system's the same. I just made chili for chili cook-off. I'm going to tell you what, right now, if I change one of those ingredients, put a lot less chili powder, a lot more chili powder, a lot less cumin or a lot more cumin, a lot less peppers or a lot more peppers. If I change one of those ingredients to an extreme, the entire thing changes. I don't win the chili cook-off. See, when we make ourselves good, our world becomes good to us. Though the same world will continue to remain evil for other people who are themselves not doing the right things. Many people want to change their marriage. They want to change their lot in life. They want to change their social standing. They want to change their weight, their health. The three things that people need to change: our mind, our heart, and our attitude. We got to work on our heart. You know why? Because it's a universal law. Hurting people hurt people. There's so much pain out there. When I look around, I see pain everywhere. That's why I want to help. That's why I believe I see a need, I meet a need. That's why my wife told me, you know what you've done, Scott? She said, you become the person that you never had when you were younger. And she's absolutely right. I want someone that can see my pain and help me with it. And I never had that. And so now that's what I do. Pain creates a chasm for joy to fill. Pain creates street cred. And I'm going to be honest with you. My childhood for about 3 decades was a point of contention. It caused me a lot of mental pain, physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm thankful for my childhood. Because pain creates a chasm for joy to fill up. Because all the stuff that at the time wasn't good, all the people that hurt me, abandoned me, thank you so much, people. Because without you people, I wouldn't be here today, have such compassion for hurting people. I wouldn't want to help hurting people because I know what it's like to hurt. I know what it's like to not be enough. I know what it's like to be homeless. I know what it's like to be beaten on all your life. I know what it's like to trash talk yourself. I know what it's like not to believe in yourself. But I also know what it's like to believe in yourself. I know what it's like to change. I know what it's like to take my life from the trash heap that it was and turn it into something great that impacts many, many people's lives. The second thing that most people need to change is their mind. The good book tells us to put on the mind of Christ at thementalhealthcenter.org. It lists 15 ways to improve mindset. I'm going to go through these real quick. Practice gratitude. Gratitude is a cornerstone of a positive mindset. You know, when we're focused on gratitude, it's pretty hard to play the victim. We have a stem in our brain called the reticular activating system, the RAS, the RAS. It is the brain's focal center. And whatever you set it to, it's the tuner. It's what it sees. If your tuner was set to ESPN, why would you expect to be watching SpongeBob? If your tuner was sent to Telemundo, why would you expect to be watching Fox News? What you set it on is what you see. And so the first way to improve your mindset is practice gratitude. How about cultivate a growth mindset? Believe in your ability to learn and grow. Treat mistakes as learning opportunities. Celebrate progress, not just the outcome. Practice mindfulness. Mindfulness can help you stay rooted in the present moments. In other words, you got to get control of your thinking. Dr. Caroline Leaf says upwards of 87% of all diseases are psychomedic. I mean, we cause it. We create them. Now, the symptoms are real. Psychomedic, sorry. The symptoms are real. But they're created by us. Our body releases 63 known chemicals, and our bitter thoughts, our resentment, our keeping a pound of flesh, a record wrong, causes our body to release chemicals that do not serve us well. Foster positive relationships. What a concept, right? Seek out people who inspire you, make you feel good about yourself. Get rid of people that are negative in your life. Nurture your relationships. How about engaging in regular physical activity? You got to move. When the body moves, it releases hormones. It releases chemicals, endorphins and oxytocin, things that make you feel good. You get some blood flow. You burn some calories. You feel different. Adopt a balanced diet. Believe it or not, what you eat matters. Your blood sugar level, your what your body's processing, protein versus carbs, it matters. Practice self-care. These are ways to affect our mindfulness, to get ourselves in the right state of mind, to put on the right mind. If you want to change your world, my friend, we've got to change our thinking. Set goals. Have something to look forward to. Helplessness and hopelessness is all about today sucks and tomorrow will be no better. But hope says no matter what's going on today, tomorrow can be better. That's what setting goals. It gives you hope. It gives you something to look forward to. If you have nothing to look forward to, if you have no reason to get out of bed, don't you see why you're depressed? Don't you see why you're unmotivated? You got to change the programming. You got to change the wiring. So you got to go inside, set some goals, something to work towards. Visualize the success. What does it look like, sound like, feel like, smell like, taste like? You got to create a new reality. Embrace change. The only thing constant in life is change. Don't fight it. Embrace it. Change is part of life. See change as an opportunity for growth. Be flexible. Learn from change. Develop some emotional intelligence. I got a brand new class, emotional intelligence. 2.5-day class. I teach you the basics of NLP. You're going to learn emotional intelligence is the right emotion with the right intensity at the right time for the right reason, directed with the right person in the right way. How about feeding your curiosity? Ask questions. Seek new experiences. Stay open-minded. The biggest problem with most people today is their heart and their mind, and both are closed off. When I do my training at waywarrior.training, I pray over every one of those chairs, Lord, open their person's heart. Open this person's mind. Seek continuous learning. Make learning a lifelong habit. I don't mean get $200,000 student loans and sit in Ivy League schools for 22 years and read books and study books and get gnosis. No, I'm talking about real learning. I'm talking going to classes like mine at wayofwarrior.training. Actually study books. When I get a book, I'll listen to it 5, 6, 7 times. Then I'll get on my Kindle and I'll underline things and highlight things. And I'll actually make Word documents so I study it. And then I'll actually get the hard book and then highlight, underline, and use my hands. I study it intentionally. I do it visually. I do it auditorily. I do it kinesthetically. Practice resilience. Fail forward. Get used to the process of picking yourself up, dusting yourself off, hitting again. Fail forward. Look at failure as a way forward. Would you call Mary Kay or Colonel Sanders or Abraham Lincoln, Henry Ford a failure? Would you call Thomas Edison a failure? You got to grow. You got to learn. Cultivate self-confidence. Celebrate your strengths. See, that's where you learn self-confidence in the fire. When you get knocked on your butt, you don't stay down and feel sorry for yourself. You don't play like the rest of America today and play the victim. Today we get our DNA tested to see what percentage of a victim we are. You're better than that. Quit doing that. Pick yourself up. Dust yourself off. Hit again. Proverbs 24:16 says a righteous man will stumble 7 times but get back up. But the wicked will stumble into ruin. And lastly, you got to develop a positive self-talk. Replace negative self-talk with positive affirmations. Practice self-compassion. Celebrate your achievement. We got to challenge our thinking. When I tune into what's going on in my head, I ask myself, is that me? Is that God? Or is that the devil? Because only 1 in 3 has any value, but in my head, they all sound like me. And the third thing that most people need to change is our attitude. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, or a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitude. That's Charles Swindoll. Between the stimulus and the response, there's a space. And in that space is our power. It is our freedom. What I've realized, as I work with tens of thousands of people, that there are basically 20 key blocks to leadership. These are the 20 most common blocks that are holding people back. And these 20 will show up in many different areas in your life. And once you can identify what these are, then we can scratch these CDs, because these are belief systems. Remember, everything we do or do not do is driven by a belief system. And a lot of this has to do with our past. And one thing I learned a long time ago, your past does not dictate your future. Just like all those great investments where they talk about this investment made 20%, this investment made 30%, this investment over 10 years made this much money. They always say past performance is not indicative of future performance. And I want you to know that you have the same thing when it relates to your ROI, return on investment. You've had a lot of pain. You've had a lot of hurt. You've had a lot of trauma. You've had a lot of drama. But don't make those reasons blocks to leadership. You make it reasons to overcome. Well, now let me share with you the 20 most common blocks of leadership. Number one, fear of risking. These are people that they won't take chance. You know, during World War II, there was this prisoner of war camp where the commandant was known for being a butcher. He'd do live experiments on our soldiers. And the way he would start his day is every day he would pick a U.S. soldier, how they were going to die that day. They could take a bullet to the head or take whatever he devised behind that door. And again, he was known as a butcher, so who knows what he was going to do to those people who picked that door. So every morning, U.S. soldiers step up, bullet to the head. One day, a junior officer asked that commandant, "Sir, what is terrible, what is so bad behind that door that these brave men would choose a bullet to the head instead of that?" And with that, the commandant said, "Freedom." Freedom was behind that door, but they had to take the risk of choosing it without knowing that's what they were going to choose. Now, I don't know if that story is true or not, but the story is about us. See, a lot of people choose the enemy they know versus the enemy they don't know. And that's what fear of risking is. Lack of commitment. It's a huge one. People make plans and they have meetings, but they don't follow through. And by the way, you can make a commitment today about something you're going to do next week. That don't matter. It's commitment at the point of decision that truly matters. I can be committed at 10 o'clock at night to go to the gym at 4 o'clock in the morning. That commitment at 10 o'clock at night does nothing for me at 4 o'clock in the morning. Because when that alarm clock goes off, it is commitment at the point of decision. It is what I decide to do at 4 o'clock in the morning that decides if I'm going to be at the gym or not. Number 3 and 4, rescuer and victim. The rescuer sounds like something good, but let me define rescuer. Doing for somebody else what they can do for themselves. No, hard work, picking yourself up, dusting yourself off, hitting again, picking yourself up by your bootstraps. That's how we learn. But a rescuer comes in and fixes things. A rescuer makes sure nobody pays consequences. A rescuer keeps that little birdie from breaking out of its shell, because by breaking out of its shell, it gets strength and wings to fly. And we live in a country of victims. We all know the victim, that everything is everybody else's fault, that they're just a victim of circumstances. By the way, have you ever noticed that all victims, all their success is all theirs? But anything bad that happens is not their problem. If every shortcoming, every problem in our life is someone else's problem because they're a racist or whatever, then how do we ever grow? How do we ever get better? We live in the time of a victim. We have a lowered bar and we don't challenge ourselves anymore, and we're all the worse for it. And the fifth block to leadership is indecisiveness. People decide to decide to decide to decide. Just make a decision, will you? If it's not the right one, make a better one next time. Number 6, low expectation of others. This is the bar. We used to have a high bar. Excellence was required. I used to like the motto of the Raiders, right? Pursuit of excellence. And today, we're in pursuit of good enough. Number 7, fear of failure. These are people, if there's a possibility of failure, they won't do it. And there's always a possibility of failure. Number 8, closed-minded. Take off your blinders. Let some light in that brain of yours. Number 9, critical. These are people that are critical. They slice and dice everything. Everything's a problem. They're dream snatchers. It's crabs. You put one crab in a box, it's going to do everything it can to get out. You want to keep that first crab in there? Put a second one in it. That second crab will do everything it can to keep the first one from getting out. And unfortunately, there's a lot of crustaceans walking around, prodigal crustaceans. They look like human beings, but they're crabs. Number 10, lack of focus. The number one cause of accidents on the job site, nothing else even comes close. And by the way, it's also the number one reason why we forget our first love of God everything else. Block number 11 is needing to be liked. A lot of us, we put our own dreams, our own hopes on hold because we need to be liked. We're afraid to give constructive criticism, or we have a difficult time having crucial conversations. Why? Because we need to be liked. Low self-worth, low self-esteem, they sound similar, but they're different. Low self-worth might relate to your job, your vocation, your relationship with God. Maybe there's an opening in the department and you don't see yourself as worthy. You don't see your own value. Now, low self-esteem is much more intimate. It puts you in harm's way. You want to just fit in, get along, and you'll sacrifice everything. Focusing on problems. These are people that they can't get their focus off the problems. They can't see the forest of the trees, whatever you want to call it. They get stuck because all they can see is what's wrong. 15, you know, the controlling versus powering, the ultimate battle of the leader, of the manager. Is it my way, the highway, or am I going to let people make mistakes and learn and grow? Controlling versus empowering. How about the burden of having to work hard, the workaholic? Again, I believe we should work hard, but for some of you, it's avoidance because we have a lot more authority at work than we do at home. So some of you do busy work and stay at work a lot longer because you don't want to deal with things at home. Having to be perfect. Again, there's nothing wrong with wanting to do a great job, but the block of having to be perfect, why it holds us back from changing is because, boy, if it's not perfect, if we can't do it, we won't take action. And so you got to be the MacGyver in your life. Sometimes you just got to make it happen. And what happens in having to be perfect, it's like sitting in your car, you're ready to go to work, your engine's running, you're in gear, but you're not going to leave to work until every light on the way to work is green. Well, guess what? You're not going anywhere, are you? No, fear of rejection is a huge block to change, to becoming who we want to be. Because we're afraid that if we step out and someone rejects us, we can't handle it. And once you realize you can handle it, then you can feel the fear and do it anyways. So fear of rejection is a mental game. You got to reframe it. You got to realize they're not rejecting you like God said. They're rejecting him. When they slam that door on you, they're not slamming the door on you. They have a bad day. It's the way you frame it. Number 19 is fear of embarrassment. These are people that they're so wrapped up in themselves. It's all about how they look, perceive. It's a fake world. And so they're afraid that if anything makes them look less than, it's embarrassing, it's humiliating. Man, I do a lot of intense things in life. I step out there. I play big. Embarrassment is not something I have. Frustration, disappointment, maybe letdown, but not embarrassment. And then 20, lack of purpose. And this holds people back to change because change for the sake of change, no one's into that. You got to have a bigger reason. I remember when my daughter was younger, we were watching Alice in Wonderland. And Alice is in the looking glass and all of a sudden she comes to a fork in the road and she stops. And I know where you see the smile form. It's El Gato, the Cheshire Cat. And Alice asked that cat a simple question. Which way do I go? Which one of these roads do I take? And the cat responded Socratically with a question, well, where are you going? And Alice said, I don't know. Then these wise words for a talking cat, then any road will take you there. I said, what did that cat say? I got to hit rewind. That cat said, when you don't know where you're going, then any road will take you there. You see, we got to figure out what's holding us back. You've had dreams before. You've had goals before. You've had things you wanted to change, but it hasn't happened up until now. So why don't you consider what is holding you back? In the past, when you've working to make change, what stopped you? Was it not real? See, if you don't begin with the end in mind and make it real, was it look like, sound like, feel like, smell like, taste like, then when you struggle and you will, you'll give up. If you don't do that, then when it gets tough and it will, you'll give up. If you don't do that, then when you fall down and you will and people mock you, you'll say, yeah, what was I thinking? So you got to figure out what's stopping you, what's holding you back. And then once you figure out what you want, now the question is what's holding us back? Up until now, what has kept us from changing? And it is our past. It's the programming from the past. We're going to help you figure out what is the change that you want. You got to change you by changing your life. If nothing changes, then nothing changes. Three things that most people want to change in their lives. That's what we're working on. Change and improve your life. WayOfWarrior.training. Until next time.
You have been listening to Mr. Black, Master Trainer for Like It Matters. Please find us on Facebook by searching LIM Radio. Make sure to follow us, like our posts, and share with others. Also, search YouTube for Like It Matters. Be sure to like and subscribe to our channel. And for more information on how we can help you live life like it matters, go to likeitmatters.net, where you can find more information on our transformational training, our life coaching, counseling, our radio show, and other ways we help you continue the journey of living life like it matters.